This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 391 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams.
We are just slowly, slowly, slowly crawling our way to 400, aren't we? It is just like, I mean, we've been like in the 380s for like, I don't know, a year and a half or something.
No.
Was it just feel that way?
Just felt that way to you.
Surely it's been at least 4 months of being in the 380s, 390s.
No. You weren't there for half of the 380s.
6 months.
What are you talking about?
Here's some work for you to do during the week because you're so busy being unemployed. Find out when episode 380 aired. I'm going to say 6 months ago.
380? Nah, rubbish. Wasn't that long ago. I will look it up while we ramble. Episode 380 went to air on August the 13th.
Well, that's about 8 months ago, isn't it? What month is it now? That's August, it's September. It's, give me a second here.
It's about three months. And given that that's 10
August
episodes, which is 10 weeks.
August?
The 13th.
August the what?
13th.
September.
October, November. It's three months.
I'm counting here. Shh. September.
You've just taken your socks off, haven't you?
I'm talking. No, 3 months. That's 3 months, Bruce.
Yes, I said that about a week ago, yeah.
So it's 3 months in a week.
Oh, dear.
That's only about 12 or 13 weeks.
Right, and it's only 10 episodes, which means we've only missed 3 weeks.
That's not that bad, really, is it?
That's right.
Forget everything I said.
Yes, I generally try to. So how was Cradle Mountain? Tell us about Cradle Mountain.
Well, tell me about you first. I'm curious about you. How are you doing?
Well, the last time we spoke, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. But then I've been busy.
You've been busy?
Yeah, like because I'm back at ARN for 3 weeks of freelance. So yeah. I'm right in the middle of that. But on top of that, I've got freelance work that I've, rounded up through my home studio. So I'm basically working two jobs. I'm busier now than I used to be.
Nice. And does that, once the contract work finishes, you're 3 weeks back, does it look like you've got some sustainable home studio stuff?
I wouldn't say it was sustainable. Look, it's sustainable, as in there's plenty of it, but it's very low income stuff. So
you're working for Fiverr, are you?
Not quite, but it's almost
like that. I'll record a voicemail message thing for you for $5.
It's almost that bad, but it's not quite.
Did you do my answering machine message? So do I get a discount for being a friend?
So anyway, yes, I'll mate rates for you for sure. Yeah,
so it's not sustainable, it's more sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a couple of job applications out in the market, which I'm fairly confident about. So we'll wait and see what happens with those.
Did you say that last time?
Probably, because the jobs are still out there.
Shouldn't you already have the job?
Because they've only just closed the applications.
I see. But surely when they saw yours come through, they'll said, hold the presses.
You would like to think.
We don't need anybody else to apply. Cancel the advertising. Stop the social media. Bruce is on board.
Yeah. Well, one of the jobs, the applications closed a couple of weeks ago, but the person who's got to go through those applications has been out of the country and she's only just come back. So I spoke with my contact yesterday who said she'll probably start looking at that stuff next week. And the other job, those applications only closed 4 days ago. So I would imagine that they'll be getting to them next week as well, hopefully. Depends how quickly they want to move on any of these things, I guess.
Of course.
So, yes, anyway.
They might want to put it off till next year,
That's quite possible, yeah. But last time we spoke,
yes,
I was on the eve of a photo shoot with a male model.
You were. You were going to go shoot some bloke.
Yeah, he was actually going to come here to my place.
And, there you go.
Yeah, and what do you know?
How'd that go?
He flaked.
Really? How unusual.
Jeez, I tell you. Models.
A model that didn't show up.
You would not read about it.
I find it unfathomable.
You wouldn't read about it because it's a podcast. You can only listen. Jones anyway. Yes. So, didn't happen. He texted me on the morning and said, oh, I'm really sorry I can't come. I've been asked to go into work. How about we reschedule? I went, yeah, no worries. These are the dates that I'm available. Haven't heard from him since.
Yeah, no problem, any of those.
So, anyway. How was Cradle Mountain?
Cradle Mountain. Well, what can you say about Cradle Mountain? For those who don't live in Australia and don't know what Cradle Mountain is, Cradle Mountain is a mountain range in Tasmania in the Highlands.
Glenn,
that doesn't look anything like a cradle.
Glenn,
yeah,
shut up. Don't care about the mountain. Tell us about the trip.
But it doesn't look anything like a mountain. I mean, what should I lie? It does actually look like a mountain. It doesn't look like a cradle.
Right.
Where do these people get their names?
Who knows? Who knows?
So we arrived on Friday afternoon to glorious accommodation, I must say, fabulous accommodation.
Yeah.
And there's these wombats eating in the grass and echidnas walking past. It was a wildlife smorgasbord.
Yeah, right.
So we ate a couple of them. As you do at a smorgasbord.
Yes.
So at this beautiful, and looking out my bedroom window, there was this little lake with trout rising in it. And there was lovely blue sky and some clouds, but lovely blue sky and watching the fish rising. And anyway, we got it all ourselves all settled in and, so and
did
models.
You, did you sacrifice some camera gear for fishing rods?
Well, if I'd known. Because I loaded up David Marlin's entire station, back of his station wagon was completely full of gear.
Right.
I took over about 60 kilos of gear at least, possibly more.
Did you go
more.
Across on the boat?
No, he did though.
Oh, right.
So he went across. He took his station wagon across on the ferry. Yeah. And I thought, well, if he's gone and he offered to load it up, well, if you're going to be a grizzly, and or be a koala in this case, and load the damn thing up. So he had a huge amount of gear with him, 10 times more than you're ever going to use on the on an event. And funnily enough, we used 1/10 of it.
Right.
Which is kind of, yeah, that
just to bring the international listeners up to speed, Cradle Mountain is in Tasmania, which is a little island off the south of Australia. But there is a ferry that crosses the body of water known as Bass Strait. It's an overnight ferry, leaves Melbourne, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, and gets in there.
I don't know. I didn't catch it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an overnight ferry.
Yeah, anyway. It is an overnight. Yeah.
Cool.
And so he took his boat. So we arrived in this glorious conditions.
Yeah.
One model we had with us already. Our other model arrived. We set out this little walk. There's three beautiful walks in the lodge we stayed at, and through this gorgeous green verdant forest of mossy stuff growing up trees. That was awesome.
Nice.
So we were 10 minutes in and we leaned one model against an old dead tree. And I go 5 feet, 10, 15 feet further up the path, set up second model, and everyone starts yelling, Glenn, Glenn! Model number one's fainted already.
From what?
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. She looked a little bit pale, a bit peaked when we picked her up, but that's just how she always looks, apparently.
Right.
So who knows? So she was written off for the day. So I sent her back to her accommodation that we're paying for and put her in that because that's her gone for the day. So we then photographed the other one a little bit because we got about halfway around and the rain started coming in.
Oh.
So we sort of bolted back into our accommodations, braved the elements to go out in our vehicle up to Cradle Mountain itself to try and look at sunset, but it was nothing but rain set. So that was no good. So we get no worries. Back to the hotel. Lovely dinner. Amazing food. Off to. So we were supposed to be doing some astro shooting. No. Just the rain.
Kind of solid preclude cloud cover.
We don't want to put the lens up into the rain. No. It's not good for it. So that was no good. I woke up the next morning to get up early, 5 o'clock, go and do the sunrise. Raining. And it rained, and it rained. We went back to breakfast, and it rained. Oh, we finished breakfast, it was raining. So I made an executive decision, as I tend to do anyway, and we drove 100 kilometres off the mountain back down to an area where we knew was not raining by weather forecast.
Yep.
So we drove. And our Cradle Mountain weekend, we drove away from Cradle Mountain, almost half the states, to get to somewhere where it wasn't raining. We set up model number one, the non-fainter.
Yeah.
We found this old abandoned house, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Set model number one, and not on the property, but just leaning against this particular fence, and one slightly on the property.
Yeah.
And by slightly on, down the driveway, around the back.
Right.
Setting up model number two, and all of a sudden, from the front, from model number one, the non-fainter.
Yeah.
and leeches. Leeches the size of small snakes.
Oh.
I'm talking 4 or 5 inches long and about 2 inches, or about maybe half an inch wide.
Wow.
Big, 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 crawling up legs.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. So we told her, yeah, suck it up, princess. She goes, no, that's what they're doing. so we kind of had to keep an eye on them, brushing them off. So anyway, so I thought, well, I better check the model around the back. And sure enough, leeches crawling up.
Oh, no.
So I looked down at my legs. There's leeches crawling up my and everyone's legs.
It was, oh, God.
There wasn't that many, but there's probably, I don't know, 10 leeches maybe over shared out of maybe 15 yeah. or 20, but shared out over 16 people. That's not, I mean, that's hardly a leech. You couldn't eat it and have a decent meal.
No,
you know, there's not enough of them for that. So we got that shoot done. That was okay. Then we went to this riverbank, did some shooting there, and you got to use the new Elochrom ELB 1200, just a little bit there, all in high speed sync.
Right.
And, Got some okay shots there. That worked pretty well.
And did that work with multiple brands of camera body?
Yes. So I had Olympus triggers, Canon triggers, and Nikon triggers.
Nice.
So the one unit can run off all three in high speed sync on all three brands. So,
wow.
So that was working. That was a really convenient way for working the shoots.
Yep.
Had lunch in town. They said we'll go back up the mountain. So we drove all the way back up the mountain. And by that time, it was just the rain had. It was mostly gone, but it was just mostly overcast. So we did another walk afternoon shoot,
yep.
and an evening sunset shoot where for about 15, maybe 20 seconds, there was decent light. And we managed to – and, of course, we've been sitting at this location for like an hour to do this landscape shot,
yep.
and the models have just been sitting there doing nothing, and everyone was kind of getting a bit bored.
Yep.
And they go, can you set up a model shoot? Can you set up a model shoot? And say, but the light's crap. Come on, set up my model. So I said, okay, but you know what's going to happen? As soon as I set up this model shoot, the light for the landscape is going to go awesome and you're going to want to run away.
Yeah.
So I set up the flash for the model shoot. Landscape light went awesome. Everyone ran away. I should have done that earlier. But the light only stayed good for a little bit.
Yeah.
Back to the hotel for a lovely dinner again, all included, I might add.
Yeah.
And up for I've got to tell you, this place has the best breakfast of any place I've been to anywhere in the world.
Wow. That's a big call.
I know. It was a small buffet, but the food was phenomenal. The quality of the food was phenomenal. The presentation was awesome. But that just had, like, every day they had, I had a banana, chia, and coconut milk smoothie, as an example.
Right.
And it was one of the most glorious things I've ever had. It was non-dairy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fabulous. But it's not mass. It wasn't like there was 1,000 things to choose from, but it was a big selection, and the quality of it all was fabulous.
Yeah, right.
So I was delighted with the food. So we got out. We did another sun. We did another shoot during that morning. Lunch we had on the way because we had a little pack lunch with us.
Yep,
all included. And then we did another shoot as we were coming off the mountain in the edge of a pine forest that was being cleared.
Yeah, I saw some of those shots. Yep.
Yeah, we're trying to keep away from the snakes.
Right.
But so overall, yesterday it was a tough weekend weather-wise, but we got some okay shots.
Yeah.
We had a hell of a lot of laughs.
Good.
Hell of a lot. I mean, we had a lot of fun, and so much fun that we're just about to announce another one in April.
Excellent.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get some.
Is that the dry season?
No, that's the best. We're hoping to do. That's when all the autumn colours are changing, so hopefully we'll
nice.
Get a nice bit of colour down there too, which would be good. So that's good. So we'll be doing another one in this time of year next year as well, in October, November, and this one in April, which would be fabulous.
Wow.
So overall, amazing weekend. First time I've been there. Stunning countryside. Just
is. Yeah.
God's own. And, yeah, we if the weather was good, we could have shot all weekend in a 10-minute driving spot and had huge variety.
Yeah, right.
Just wondrous landscapes and environments. So we'll definitely be going there more. So
nice.
Marvellous fun. But, nice. Yeah. So that was my weekend. Can't think of anything else that happened that was I wrote down. Hang on a sec. Leeches, landscapes, raining, 10 seconds of sunset. You got it all. That was all the highlights right there. But I did do one other thing photographic this week.
That
my wife and I watched a documentary on the photographer Harry Benson.
Oh, okay.
It was on Netflix, and it was bloody marvellous.
Yeah, right.
So,
what's it called?
I don't know.
Okay.
Didn't pay that much attention.
It's a bit hard for me to link to it if I don't know the name of it.
You'd think I'd pay attention to that sort of stuff, wouldn't you?
You would have thought, but anyway.
The Life of Harry Benson? No, Harry Benson, Shoot First.
Right.
So this guy's been photographing since, I mean, he's famous for his Beatles photos.
Okay.
But he's still photographing now, doing all the celebrity.
Now that you've mentioned the name of it, Shoot First, I have a vague recollection that you've mentioned this in the past. No,
ever.
No? Okay, maybe somebody else mentioned it.
I can guarantee that because I've never heard of his name before this week.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't pay attention to anybody else. But it was a fabulous doco. And we mostly watch it because my wife loves the Beatles.
Right.
Yeah. So we watch it. And his documentary work with them was fabulous.
Just share something with you when we finish recording about the Beatles. Sure.
Hello, Bruce. so if you ever remember seeing the iconic movie footage of the Beatles coming down the plane when they first landed in America and all the crowds going nuts. This right. is this iconic video movie footage of them walking down the plane's steps to the runway. Well, Harry Benson's behind them shooting them.
Right.
So he had this amazing access for just, you know, for forever, basically, to all the celebs. And it's a great, and it's not about celebrity. In fact, he becomes a bit of a celebrity himself. But it was just a really interesting viewpoint. And his eye is fabulous. His eye is just stunning. So definitely worth watching.
Cool.
So anyway, that was it. That was it. That was my entire photographic week.
Excellent. Well, there's only a handful of stories from listeners this week. Three from Adam. One was about a camera battery which exploded at an airport.
Yeah, sure, that's not good.
Naturally would have sent everybody into meltdown. And, of course, it happened to, you know, happen in the US, of course. So Orlando International Airport in Florida. Yeah.
So it's just going to make things even harder, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah,
if that sort of stuff. And here's the thing, too. I mean, there's so many options online to buy these no-name knockoff batteries from China.
Yep.
We have no idea what the quality of the bloody cells are like inside these things.
Yep.
And, yeah, every darn chance these are the ones are going to blow up and cause us untold grief.
Mm-hmm.
All because people save 20 or 30 bucks, you know?
Yep.
So...
yeah, not good. Not good. Anyway, link will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to read that story. The next one is the story of a scammer on Facebook who conned not Adam, but the person who originally posted it. And basically, the way this scam worked was the scammer approaches somebody who's selling a camera, makes all these weird demands on the seller of the camera to photograph the box and address the box to me as if it is coming from a store. Yeah, and then apparently the scammer pays for the item via PayPal, but then lodges an item not received complaint with PayPal. And
yeah, so basically they try and convince people to send them to the non-PayPal address as well.
Oh, that's right.
That's a key thing. So because as soon as you send to the non-PayPal address, then you are you're no longer
protected by PayPal.
Yeah, right. So all that kind of stuff. So it's just it's just all around con, basically.
Yeah. So the person ends up, the scammer then, you know, complains that they never got the camera, even though they did, because the seller was able to, you know, provide proof that the item had been delivered. But, you know, as Glenn just said, because it's posted to a non-PayPal address, you're not covered. The scammer ends up getting their money back as well as getting the camera,
mm-hmm.
and then promptly tries to sell the camera on Facebook through another group.
Yeah, and they sell it multiple times to multiple people.
Yeah.
And they ship stuff too. So it's that there's whatever your local area is, they'll ship a envelope to a local big pharmacy or big store. So they get a tracking number to your suburb.
Yep.
And of course, that's all the detail UPS or whatever will give anyone who's inquiring. They know something's coming to that suburb.
Yep.
And they do that multiple times. So they've got people's money, and then they just disappear, of course. And
wow.
Yeah. It's a convoluted scam, but who knows how many people. So most of the people in that article got their money back.
Yeah.
Except for the person who sold, who sent the camera to the
scammer.
The person in the first shop.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't to the right address.
I actually had an instance where somebody joined my Sydney Photographers meetup group on Facebook, advertised the camera for sale. One of the group members agreed to buy it, handed over the money, and never saw the camera nor the seller ever again, and complained to me about it. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't facilitate the transaction. I had no knowledge of the transaction other than I saw the listing, you know, where this person advertised it on the group. And so from that point on, I just took a blanket approach where I said, nobody's going to be putting those sorts of listings on the group unless it's somebody I personally know.
And there's a general rule, if it seems too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And all those things. I mean, people get themselves into trouble somewhat by wanting to find the cheapest everything.
Yep.
And often that leads to...
And that's what scammers prey on, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They know you're looking for the cheapest. They make it cheaper than they can get anywhere else, and so you're so desperate to get that deal... Yep. That you fall for it. And
Yeah. The third one from Adam, and I thought this was a very interesting case, was about the guy...
From Adam said something interesting.
Yes. So this guy obviously knew a little bit about computer code and how it works and whatever.
That's rubbish. No one knows that.
Found a bug in DJI's software... which allowed him access into their, you know, their servers, where he was able to access customer information. And it wasn't just flight logs and that sort of stuff, but it was driver's licenses and passports and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And DJI had quite publicly said that there was a $30,000 bounty for anybody who found, you know, anything of a nature which, you know, could potentially be embarrassing to them, you know, any bugs or whatever. So this guy goes to DJI expecting to get, you know, a pat on the head and a check for 30 grand. And instead, they went completely ballistic on him and sent him a letter threatening him with prosecution under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Anyway, man, they eventually... sort of came to a kind of a deal, but still not the 30 grand that he, you know, expected to be offered. And four different lawyers all said to him, don't touch that deal with a 10-foot barge pole, because it's been written in such a way as it's just designed to shut you up. So he just walked away from the whole thing and compiled all of his evidence into an 18-page PDF and then posted it on his blog under the title, Why I Walked Away from $30,000 of DJI Bounty Money. Man, when are these companies going to learn? This is not the era to try and do this stuff to the public. You know, everyone has a voice now.
Yeah, and it's easy to get out there.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't, you know, when you put up a title like that, Why I Walked Away from 30 grand of Bounty Money.
You're going to pay attention.
People are going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And that stuff's going to go viral. It's like, wow. So anyway, again, link will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to read the whole story. And Rob Coates sent us the disturbing image of the week. And this was actually a week or so back, but I didn't do a podcast last week. And this was really horrible. This was on the ABC News website. And it was pictures of these locals in eastern India who set fire to elephants, like living elephants. And it's really horrible.
Does it say why?
Well, I think it was to do with, you know, the deforestation that's going on is causing the elephants to move closer to human habitation. And it's just that constant battle between, you know, humans and nature, and humans don't want to coexist. So, not very nice at all. So, horrible story.
So thanks for ending on that lovely note.
thanks, Rob. Very uplifting. Anyway. So that's about it for this week. One
positive thing to finish off. Leica just announced a new Leica CL mirrorless crop sensor digital camera this week.
Right.
And one of my favorite cameras in the world is the original Leica CL.
Okay. Which what does is the CL mean?
Okay. Close look. I don't know. Okay.
Right.
I think it stands for this here.
Right.
Okay. German, possibly.
Right.
It was modeled after that. It was basically a Minolta CLE.
Okay.
And rebadged as a Leica, but just a gorgeous old 35mm little compact camera, just sweet as all get out.
Right.
Interchangeable lenses.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, oh, when I saw that Leica, see, oh, please be the same body, same. Of course not.
Yes, and how many tens of thousands of dollars do you need to plonk down for one?
Oh, who knows?
Right.
But they could have brought out this classic design camera, this classic camera in digital form, and have people salivating. And I think all they've done is rebadge a Sony bloody A6000 or something.
Right.
You know, a little disappointing when you open the link and see that, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
All right. Well,
I'm done like a dog's dinner.
Yeah, matey, I'm up for a short one tonight. So yeah,
I've got a workshop to do tomorrow. So
excellent.
Gotta get my brain.
What sort of workshop are we doing tomorrow?
Flash workshop, which is tough. So I've kind of got to get my brain around
flash
that.
Flash basics or flash advanced or?
Well, I only do one flash workshop.
Right.
Yeah, it's all advanced.
Right.
I've got to get my brain connected enough to actually run it in a cohesive manner.
Excellent.
Which will be good. So we'll see how that works out.
All right. Well, enjoy that.
I'll talk to you next week.
Well, mate, have a good one.
You are, bye, everyone. Oh, just before we go, for everyone, just so everyone knows, as of today, recording date 24th of November.
Yep.
31 days till Christmas.
Thank you for that. Today's actually the 23rd.
That's what I said. Yep.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.
Alrighty, so let's wrap it up with a book review from David Marland, episode 45. I think we've only got about another 5 to go after this one. What do you got for us this week, David?
Thanks, Bruce. You know, a couple of times in this series, I've made a few comments about travel photography books, and especially about travel photography books which seem to assume you've got plenty of time, no other commitments, and you can take your time taking photographs when you visit all these exotic places. This book, Extraordinary Everyday Photography, takes a bit of a different view. Brenda Tharp and Jed Mainwaring have the premise that wonderful images are hiding almost everywhere. You just need to know how to find them. The book is a large format softback. It's well illustrated and an easy read. And in many ways, it's a logical progression from the last review, Learning to See Creatively. This book encourages you to look at everyday things, the things that are near you, and look at them in new ways. You don't have to go too far. You don't have to go to exotic places to find good photos. But by honing your craft on the everyday, when you do go away, your mind's more open. And even if you only have fleeting opportunities to compose and take a photo, your chances of bringing back something you're pleased with are better. I like the front cover of this book. It's a photo of an ordinary park bench in an ordinary street somewhere near dusk. Yet the picture holds your interest. There's plenty of this sort of material right through this book. And it patiently and systematically talks about finding fresh vision, what that moment of perception's about, discovering pictures where you live, and then helps you expand your own vision. For the keen, there's exercises to do, and they're well worth doing and taking on that discipline if a particular chapter really interests you. The book doesn't concentrate on gear. It talks about opening up your ability to see. It's about that 6 inches behind the lens. I found this a very thought-provoking and easy read. Extraordinary Everyday Photography, Awakening Your Vision to Create Stunning Images Wherever You Are, is by Brenda Tharp and Jed Mainwaring. It's published by Amphoto. It's a large format soft cover, and Booko has it from $26 to $53. Cheers.
How interesting. Do you know, only today I was watching a video on YouTube where a guy was an English photographer. I can't remember his name right now. It wasn't a guy I'd ever watched any of his other videos, but he did have a channel with a bunch of videos. But he was talking about, you know, shooting the same area. you know, over and over again, and how, you know, different times of day, different times of the year will render completely different results. And I thought there was an interesting correlation with what you were just talking about, you know, shooting the area that you live in. You don't have to go and shoot something exotic, you know, just hone your craft, hone your craft, hone your craft. Very interesting. Thank you, David. All right, that will do it for another week. Like I said, a bit of a short one this week. Glenn's got commitments and I'm exhausted. So until I speak with you next, take care.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another audiotier.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.